Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. The MSS crew is here and ready to go, and we are also thanking you for joining us in the Fred Bertelsen Memorial Old Time Radio Room of RadioOutOfThePast.org. Today's date is Saturday, October 4th, 2014, and this is your MSS host, Luis Jr., assisting with bringing to you yet another exciting and exhilarating internet broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. Well, folks, as promised, we are back again doing the things that we do best, and that just so happens to be putting together the highest quality OTR surprises that are within our powers to produce. So, why don't we get things rolling here by allowing me to introduce the presenter for tonight's program? He just so happens to be the boss man of MSS, Miguel Amaro himself. Yep, we got him out of his office and into the studio to put another good show together for your listening enjoyment. So, without any further delays, why don't we all just sit back, grab those snacks and drinks, and enjoy the program? Miguel, the microphone is yours.
Thanks, Luis. Hi, everybody. Welcome to my presentation here on Michael's Saturday Surprise for this Saturday. Before I start things off, I want to thank Rick, aka the Doc, coming up with the theme for this month. Obviously, it's October, so that means Halloween. Without further ado, let's begin. X minus one, the parade. May 1st, 1955.
Countdown for a blast off. X minus five, minus four, minus three, minus two, X minus one. Fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future. Adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company presents X minus one. If you wanted to take over our world with a minimum amount of resistance and trouble, how would you go about it? Tonight we'll tell you how, with a strange and chilling story by George Lefferts, The Parade.
You are Mr. Sid Ryan.
The same.
My name is Luchar. I am a Martian.
Ah, pleased to meet you, Mr. Lu... What
was that again?
A Martian.
As in Orson Welles?
Precisely.
I'm a Rotarian myself. Sit down.
Thank you.
Now that we've had our little joke, Mr. Luchar, what can Publicity Associates do for you?
I am interested in obtaining publicity. It has been my observation that advertising and publicity are the very backbone of earthly civilization.
Spoken like a true Martian, Mr. Luchar. Now, if you'll tell me the name of the client.
The client, of course, will be the Martians.
You don't give up, do you?
Give up?
The gag, I mean. Oliver.
Yes, Mr. Ryan?
This is Mr. Luchar.
Oh, how do you
Mr.
do?
Mr. Luchar claims to be a Martian. Take him outside, will you, Oliver?
I am happy to see, Mr. Ryan, that my telling you I am a Martian has approximately the effect I guessed it would. I believe we can do business. I have here cash retainer of $5,000.
Oliver. Take a look at that wad of lettuce.
It's the real stuff, Mr. Ryan.
And my client is prepared to spend many times that amount.
Well, sit down, Mr. Lucha. Oliver, get the client a cigar, the 50-cent box.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Well, now, what can I do for you, sir?
I wish you to manage a publicity campaign. A very large and important campaign.
Is the product established, or is it something brand new?
Something quite new. Now, What would you judge the most effective type of campaign?
Well, if the client has a lot of dough to throw around, a suspense campaign is best. First, you place ads in the paper saying, "Watch this space." Then about a week later, you run an ad saying XYZ or PDQ, and you get people guessing what it means. Then finally, when you've teased them enough, you bust loose and unveil the product.
Excellent. We will conduct a suspense campaign.
Of course, in this kind of campaign, secrecy is very important. Once the name of the product leaks out, it spreads like wildfire, and the whole campaign is kafloppo.
Quite so. The utmost secrecy.
You realize, of course, these things cost like crazy.
Would, say, $1 million cover expense? Hey,
come again?
I said, would $1 million cover it?
Why, yes, I imagine. You did say $1 million.
I understood that you have handled some very large accounts. Of course, if this is too big...
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, I seldom touch anything less. Right, Oliver?
Huh? Oh, of course, that's right, Mr. Ryan. Absolutely right, yes.
You will begin, then, by saturating the newspapers, the radio, the streetcars with a very simple statement.
What's that?
I will write it on a card. Here you are.
The Martians are coming. Say, that's not a bad teaser. Got that, Oliver?
Yes, sir.
The next ad will read, June 1st is Martian Day.
June 1st is Martian Day.
What happens on June 1st?
The parade takes place.
What parade?
I wish you to arrange a parade up Fifth Avenue.
You mean like the Macy Parade?
Exactly. Except that the theme will be the world of tomorrow, the Martian world. My client would like it to be a gay affair. Balloons, clowns, pennants, pretty drum majorettes.
Say, that sounds terrific. I might be able to interest the department stores in a tie-in.
Fine. The parade will climax the campaign. On June 1st, the product will be unveiled.
Good enough. By the way, Mr. Luchar, what is the product? What are we selling?
Oh, no, Mr. Ryan. Secrecy, remember?
Yeah, but after all...
Ryan, all will be revealed to you in good time. For the moment, let us say that we are selling a concept.
A concept?
The concept of invasion from Mars.
Talent Agency.
Sammy Sorrell, please.
This is Sammy.
This is Sid Ryan over at Publicity Associates. Listen, Sammy, how are you fixed for midgets?
I got midgets.
Fine, I need 40 midgets for a parade. 40. June 1st. And listen, Sammy, I want them dressed in little spacesuits.
In little... what?
You know, like men from Mars.
Mars.
Okay? And I want some movie extras, maybe 50 of them.
50.
Also rigged up like men from Mars. Make them look gruesome. Got that?
Gruesome.
Also, I need some horses with pretty girls on top of them. Maybe you can get that bunch from Maroney's Traveling Circus, the one we booked for the Fireman's Parade in Albany last year.
Yeah, I'll try, Sid.
Never mind the expense. Just get me the talent.
It sounds like you landed a big client there. Who is it?
It's a secret. I gotta hang now. Call me back, Sammy. Right. How you doing, Oliver?
Oh, fine, Mr. Ryan. Just fine. I got 100 small boys pasting little stickers. The Martians are coming on the subway platforms.
Good.
We got full-page ads in all the dailies.
Good.
And 10-second spot announcements on every local station.
Good.
It's costing a fortune.
Good. The more it costs, the bigger our percentage. Spend like you were going to the electric chair, Oliver.
Yes, sir. How are you making out in the parade?
If it comes off, it'll be the biggest thing since Bonham invented the midget. I've got Macy's, Gimbel's, and Saks to contribute floats. Everything is built around the Martian theme, see? Even the horses will have long feelers attached to them and funny-looking extra legs. It'll be sensational.
That sounds fine, only...
Only what?
Mr. Ryan, we don't even know what we're selling.
Oliver, my boy, do you think old Sid Ryan has been sitting here spending all this moolah and not putting two and two together?
You mean you know who Luchar represents?
Just by accident, understand. I have learned that Century Pictures is making a big new epic. One of those expensive pictures they make in secret and then spring on the public because they don't want the other studios to get the jump on them.
What's the picture?
A space opera titled Invasion from Mars. Get it?
Oh, I begin to see.
Also, by mere coincidence, it's supposed to have its premiere sometime around June 1st. You follow me?
Yes, but Mr. Ryan, Century has an exclusive contract with New Features Syndicate for all their publicity.
Suppose Century Pictures doesn't like the way New Features is handling their stuff. They want to get out of the contract, but New Feature says no, so they have to get around the contract. A man named Lucha, client unknown, starts publicizing the Martian invasion. Need I go further?
I don't know, Mr. Ryan. Sounds pretty far-fetched to me, but I don't know.
That's what I like about you, Oliver. You're so innocent. Now, let me talk to Commissioner Patrick, please. Sid Ryan.
Hello.
Commish, Sid Ryan.
Oh, how are you, Ryan?
Fine.
What is it this time? You want to drop a man off the Empire State Building into a teacup full of water? The answer is no. Also, we're not arresting any fan dancers.
You know I don't handle fan dancers. I want a permit for a parade. June 1st, 5th Avenue. It's a Sunday. There's no traffic.
Now, look, Ryan,
Macy's gets a permit. Gimbel's gets a permit. The American Legion gets a permit. The Sons of Aaron march every time Morton Downey sings The Wearing of the Green. Oh, don't give me a hard time, Patrick. This is too big. I have the 5th Avenue Merchants Association behind me.
Okay. Fill out the forms. I'll pass them along to the license commissioner.
That's my boy.
By the way, what's the occasion for this parade?
Well, don't you read the papers, Patrick? June 1st is Martian Day.
How is the campaign going, Mr. Ryan?
Like wildfire, Mr. Lucha, like wildfire. Everybody and his brother is going along with the gag. Yesterday, we distributed 50,000 Martian hats to school kids. I got some of the merchants doing World of Tomorrow displays in their windows. Every big novelty manufacturer in town is climbing on the bandwagon. They want to get into the parade with floats, giveaways, anything. Everybody smells a buck to be made. I wouldn't be surprised if the mayor himself declared Martian Day. I've even arranged for Commissioner Patrick to accept a $50,000 check for the Policeman's Benevolent Fund from the man from Mars. Oh, it's terrific, terrific. My blood pressure's up to 200.
Excellent.
I understand Century Pictures spent over $1 million making that space opera.
I beg pardon?
Oh, calm, Mr. Lucha. Sid Ryan wasn't born yesterday, you know. I know who our client is, even if you don't admit it.
You do?
Always thinking, that's me.
Well, as long as you know, let's keep it to ourselves, shall we, Mr. Ryan? As you once remarked, when these things leak out, it destroys the surprise and ruins the effectiveness of the campaign.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Ken Daly speaking to you from our portable transmitter atop the reviewing stand for the much-heralded Martian Parade on Fifth Avenue. It's a beautiful sunlit day here in New York, a perfect day for a parade, and the streets are packed with thousands of spectators all eager to find out what this is all about. There's an air of shrill expectancy. Some of the kids and their parents have been camped on the curbstone since early this morning to be sure of ringside seats when the so-called Martians pass by. I've just had word from Sol Brown up at Central Park Mall that the Martians have landed from big pink balloons. And now while we're waiting for the arrival of the parade, we brought some people up to our microphone to tell you their reactions to this most spectacular of all publicity stunts.
That's right.
Come on. What's your name, madam?
Miss Ada Shackley.
A little louder, please.
Miss Ada Shackley.
Uh-huh. And where are you from, Mrs. Shackley?
Columbus, Ohio.
I see. And I see you have your family with you, too. Two little curly-headed blonde boys. Are you in New York on vacation?
We came for the Shriners Convention with their daddy.
Well, what do you think of Martian Day, Mrs. Shackley?
Well, it all seems very strange to me, but the boys have been pestering me to watch it, so we've been standing here 2 hours. I can't make head or tail of it.
Well, neither can a lot of other people, Mrs. Shackley. But judging by the thousands here today, there's a lot of curiosity.
Curiosity killed the cat, folks say.
Well, let's hope not. Thank you, Mrs. Shackley.
Mr. Ryan's here.
This is Mr. Sid Ryan, ladies and gentlemen, the publicity man who's the brains behind the Martian Day stunt. Hello, Sid.
Good morning, Kenneth.
Easy, not so close to the mic.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, Sid, you've certainly lifted the lid this time.
Looks like it, doesn't it?
Sid, there's been a great deal of speculation as to exactly what all this is leading up to. I've heard some folks say it's a big war bond drive, Others think it's just to stimulate local business. And, look, I understand in the trade itself, The smart money says you're building for the premiere of Century's forthcoming extravaganza, Invasion from Mars. Now, come clean. Can you tell us what the real story is?
I can. I'd like to, but honestly, I can't.
Oh, man of mystery, eh? Are you going to watch the parade from the stand here?
No, Ken, I can't stand noise. I'm going out to my office and watching Gumpin.
Well, thank you, Sid Ryan, and good luck. And here they come, ladies and gentlemen. The first units of the big Martian parade, swinging down Fifth Avenue with fanfare, colored streamers, music, confetti, floats, all the trappings of a Mardi Gras. Here in the vanguard is a whole troop of little midgets in weird-looking pink and blue spacesuits, carrying Rube Goldberg weapons with signs painted on them. Let's see, I can read one which says, Atomic Blaster. Another one has a placard reading, we're Martian through Georgia. And here come the clowns, laughing and falling all over each other. They're giving free sugar candy to the kids along the way. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is a happy, laughing crowd along Fifth Avenue today, a true reflection of the great sense of humor and good nature that makes America the place it is. This is promised as the climax of the show. Now a great hush has fallen over the crowd. It's quite a sight to see these thousands of people standing here expectantly, hearing only the great regular sigh of their mass breathing. And now here they come, ladies and gentlemen, the Martians, marching in booted, helmeted ranks, row after row of them. My, this is an impressive sight, ladies and gentlemen. And a rather serious contrast to the rest of the joyous slapstick parade we've witnessed. There are perhaps, 200 tall, broad-chested men dressed in metallic gray spacesuits with thick glass visors drawn across their faces. Each is holding an ominous-looking ray gun at the ready position. They're marching in absolute silence, keeping step perfectly, as though some mute, unspoken command were marking time for them. The crowd seems rather grim and serious now. Perhaps they're reminded of the actuality of war and possible invasion. They stand solemnly, silently, watching. Even the children are awed. And now the first ranks of the Martians are moving past us down Fifth Avenue toward the reviewing stands at the square. No one moves. What's that? What's happening? Oh, there, a woman, ladies and gentlemen. She dashed out into the street. For what reason, I don't know. She attempted to lift the visor of one of the Martian spacesuits, but just as she reached the Martian, she fell forward in a dead faint. I tell you, I've never felt such mass tension in a crowd as we're experiencing here right now, today. All sorts of rumors have begun filtering back through the audience. There are excited whispers of she's dead, she fainted, and now an undercurrent of what? They're really Martians. This is an example of how a single incident can precipitate mass hysteria, ladies and gentlemen. I tell you, it's a mighty reassuring sight to see the blue uniforms of New York's finest spaced every 10 feet or so along the avenue. Somehow, I can't explain it. This incident has begun to work on what was a moment ago a happy, carefree crowd, and the complexion is changing.
Mr. Ryan, did you see that? A woman fainted.
Of course I saw it.
What do you suppose she saw?
Oliver, old man, did I ever tell you were too naive for this business?
But that young woman ran out into the streets to get a close look at the Martians, and then she screamed and fainted dead away.
I'm well aware of that, Oliver, since I paid her $50 to do it.
What?
The dramatic moment, Oliver, the stock and trade of the good publicity man. Relax.
Holy smokes, you sure think of everything.
Yeah, for my share of this deal, roughly $100,000, I can afford to think of everything. Shut the window.
Don't you want to see the finish?
We'll go down to the reviewing stand for the finish. Right now, I want to make a phone call.
fall. By the way, where's Lucha?
I haven't seen him.
He'll be around.
Boy, those Martians sure look like the real thing.
How would you know the real thing if you saw it, Oliver?
Gee, I don't know.
Close the window, Oliver.
Oh, yes, Mr. Ryan.
Sorrel's Talent Agency.
Sammy, this is Sid Ryan.
Say, listen, Sid, I was going to call you. I'm awful sorry about those Martians.
What do you mean, sorry? They're terrific.
No, don't joke, Sid. I mean it.
Well, I mean it, too. They're great, great.
Are you in the bag?
Never felt better.
You mean it, don't you?
Of course I mean it. What is this?
There are Martians in the parade?
About 150. Of course, I only ordered 50, but
Sid,
under the circumstances...
Sid.
What is it?
Sid, don't you know? I couldn't get you a single movie extra. There's a studio strike in New York. I was going to call you, but I figured...
Wait a minute. Where'd these guys come from if you didn't hire them?
I don't know. Maybe Oliver...
Oh, hold on. Oliver?
Yes, Mr. Ryan?
Did you hire those Martians?
No, sir, I...
Sammy, this is on the level, isn't it?
Honest, Sid,
okay, Sammy, I'll call you back.
What's the matter, Mr. Ryan?
I don't know. I just don't know. I've got to locate Lucha. What's Century Pictures number?
Mr. Ryan, this is Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Well, get me their publicity director, Marty Sanford, at home.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Here you are.
Thanks.
Sanford.
Marty, this is Sid Ryan.
Oh, hello, Sid. How's the
fine, fine. Listen, Marty, this is dead serious. On the level, get it?
What's wrong?
I've got to locate Lucha.
Lou who?
Lucha, come on now, Marty. This is life and death. The guy you sent over to hire me for the invasion picture.
Invasion picture?
Invasion from Mars, the space opera.
Are you batty?
Marty.
That picture was shelved last month.
What?
Sure, back in the can. Too expensive and too fantastic. The big shots decided you can't sell a Martian invasion to the American public. And I never heard of a guy named Lou...
Mother heaven.
What is it, Mr. Ryan? You look terrible.
That's too fantastic.
What's too fantastic, Mr. Ryan? Is something wrong?
Open that window. I want another look at those Martians.
Yes, sir.
Look at them. Oliver, you were in the Army. Could 150 movie extras learn to march like that in, say, 24 hours?
Not in 24 days, Mr. Ryan.
Not a second's hesitation. Not one other step. Look at the way they carry those ray guns at the ready. The only other time I've seen troops march like that was in the film of the Nazi storm troops marching through the streets of Paris. See those chests on? That's pride. Sheer, arrogant pride. Look at those chins. That's contempt. Nobody could act like that.
Mr. Ryan!
Oliver, get down there. Find that woman who fainted. Her name's Gloria Montex. Get her up here. Make it fast.
Here she is, Mr. Ryan. I can't get much sense out of her.
Stay away from me.
Gloria, it's me, Sid Ryan.
Oh, don't kid me. You're a Martian.
Gloria, settle down.
Now you're wearing a mask.
Baby, it's me, Sid.
And underneath, it's awful. It's all big green eyes and those feelers like a catfish.
Baby, snap out of it. Listen, what happened down there? You ran out and screamed like I told you, but the fainting, that wasn't in the act.
Oh, go away, please. Go away.
What'd you see?
Oh, no, please. It's too awful. Please, please.
Just one question, baby. Inside that helmet, what'd you see?
You won't get anything out of her, Mr. Ryan. She needs a doctor.
Okay, Oliver, I've heard enough anyway. You take care of Gloria here. Get her a drink.
Where are you going?
To see the commissioner. We got to stop this parade before things begin to happen.
Okay, Ryan, what's the beef?
Listen, Patrick. I don't know what it is, see, but something's wrong. You got to stop that parade.
I suppose you'd like the riot squad. That would get you a front page spread on every paper in town. Honest, you publicity guys give me a pay.
This may be a matter of life and death.
Oh, sure, sure. Look, Ryan, I've got no time for your cheap publicity gags. I'm a busy man.
Listen, I'm trying to tell you I don't know where these Martians came from, who they are, or anything about them. All I want you to do is stop the parade and make sure they're on the level.
Ryan, I'm wise to your tricks. Now, if you let the sergeant show you out...
You won't do it, huh? An honest citizen appeals for protection and you refuse it.
I most emphatically do. Now beat it.
All right, Patrick. I'll go right to the mayor's office. I'll have you busted flatter than a fried egg.
Go ahead. I'm sure his honor will be glad to toss you out on that phony nickel-plated skull of yours.
You heard
heard me, Ryan. You cannot see the mayor.
Adolph, please. This isn't a gag. I don't want publicity. All I want to do is maybe prevent something horrible from happening.
In case you don't know it, wise guy, something horrible is already happening. A couple hundred little kids are in the hospital with ptomaine poisoning from that phony Martian candy you passed out. Or didn't you know?
I didn't. We've got to stop that parade.
Sure, you'd like nothing better than to start a panic now. Maybe a few hundred people would get trampled to death. Think of the newspaper space that would get you and your product.
I won't stand for this, Adolf.
You won't have to, because you're going to get out of here right now. Go on, beat it. Get out. You and your publicity stunts make me sick to my stomach.
Oliver! Oliver, where are you? Oliver! Oliver!
It is useless.
What?
To scream at him, Mr. Ryan. Your friend is quite dead.
Lucha.
He wanted to run to the police with some story about a Martian invasion. I found it necessary to restrain him.
Restrain him, you stinking murderer!
Now, Mr. Ryan, collect yourself. After all our planning, it wouldn't do to have everything spoiled, now would it?
Lucha, start talking and talk fast, because when you get through, I'm going to take you apart piece by piece. What's this all about?
But surely you know, Mr. Ryan. After all, you've been publicizing it for months.
Listen, you...
Please, do not interrupt. You see, before colonizing your planet, we Martians sent advanced scouts to study your habits, your weaknesses. We found that the people on Earth are predominantly conditioned by advertising and publicity, and so... We conceived the idea of treating our entire invasion as a vast publicity stunt. Clever, huh? After all, Mr. Ryan, who would suspect an invader who advertised his invasion in the newspaper, invited the public to his surprise attack, and spent millions publicizing his plans?
Holy jumping catfish.
You've done very well.
Then there was no product.
Ah, but there is a product. The product is... death.
What are you trying to do, Lucha?
We Martians are a humane people, Mr. Ryan. We do not like to destroy thousands where a few hundreds would suffice. In exactly 2 minutes, our troops will treat the world to a spectacle of death, which will bring the rest of your planet to its knees in horror. Nations will clamor to surrender.
Perhaps, Mr. Lucha, but not if I can help it. You...
Yes, please.
Operator, this is Mr. Ryan. Get me the field telephone on the reviewing stand of the Martian Day Parade. Hurry.
Anyone in particular?
Just hurry!
Reviewing stand, Sergeant Cassidy.
Get me Commissioner Patrick.
Hello.
Hello.
You'll have to talk loud.
I want Commissioner Patrick.
Oh.
Patrick!
Wait a minute. Things are quieting down. Now, what was it you wanted?
This is Ryan. I have to talk to the commissioner. It's a matter of life and death.
Oh, I'm sorry, you can't talk to him now. The chief Martian is presenting the PBA check to him. The Martians are going to fire a salute.
Listen, you got to stop him.
What?
Stop him!
I'm sorry, Mr. Ryan.
You idiot, the worst is going to...
This is the operator. I'm sorry, Mr. Ryan, you've been cut off. I can't seem to get them back.
Doesn't matter, operator. Nothing matters now.
Tonight... X-1 has brought you The Parade, an original story written by George Lefferts. Featured in the cast were Joseph Curtin as Ryan, Joe DeSantis as Luchar, Alexander Scorby as Daly, Agnes Young as the woman, Ellen Deming as Gloria, John Thomas as Oliver, Arthur Anderson as Sammy, Wendell Holmes as the commissioner, and William Keane as Sanford. Your announcer, Don Pardo. X-1 was directed by Fred Way. And it's a transcribed NBC Radio Network production. Next week, the tables turn. Instead of Martians invading Earth, we bring you a tale of men invading Mars. Ray Bradbury's brilliant short story entitled, Mars is Heaven. Suppose you were a member of the first rocket ship crew to land on Mars, but instead of seeing Martians, you find that you've landed in a town that looks just like home, that all your dead relatives and friends are there to greet you, so that as incredible as it may seem, you think you're really in heaven. That is, you think so, right up to the fatal moment, the moment of X minus one. Join the Abbotts on another baffling mystery tonight over most NBC radio stations.
That was X minus one, May 1st, 1955, The Parade. Our next show is another X minus one program, July 28th, 1955, The Embassy.
Countdown for blast-off. X-minus 5, 4, 3, 2, X-minus 1, fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Street & Smith, publishers of Astounding Science Fiction, presents
X minus one.
Tonight's story, The Embassy. Out of the infinitude of stars and planets in the solar system and other systems in the universe, it is almost mathematically certain that other forms of life exist on other worlds. Someday, in the future, in 1,000 years, or in the next 25 minutes, daring travelers through space will make contact with the inhabitants of another world. But the question is, will we contact them first, or will they contact us? A private detective agency in downtown New York.
Mr. Grafius, Mr. Broderick will see you.
Well, what can I do for you?
My name is Grafius, Grafius of Springfield. I would like your assistance in helping me locate a Martian embassy.
Would you say that again very slowly?
I came to New York to locate the Martian embassy.
I assume you were joking.
On the contrary, I am completely serious. As it happens, I am interested only in Martians at the moment.
I see. Okay, shoot.
Well, it occurred to me in the course of my studies that we Earth people cannot possibly be the only intelligent form of life in the universe. Since Mars is older geologically, and since it is also an atmospheric planet, its evolutionary history could easily be similar to ours. Do you follow me?
Well, so far I can't say no.
If this is true, then they must have been watching us, observing us for hundreds, possibly thousands of years. They also know we are a militaristic, warlike race. We might conceivably set out to conquer and occupy Mars someday.
In which case, they would try to get the jump on us.
Ah, precisely, Mr. Broderick. Now, if you were planning to attack an unknown nation, what would be your first move, Mr. Broderick?
Well, intelligence. Find out what the odds are.
Oh, you have a very logical mind, sir. You would send agents to scout the nerve centers of earthly civilization and advancement. Not Kansas City or Equatorial Africa, my dear sir, but here, in New York, the most technically advanced spot on the earth.
And you want me to help you prove this theory of yours?
Precisely. The expense doesn't interest me.
Well, now, this may take a long, long time, Mr. Grafius. After all, nobody has ever seen the Martians.
I assure you they will be very ordinary-appearing people.
Mm-hmm.
Very likely they live together in downtown New York. Most certainly they live in a private house with no servants to pry in their affairs.
Oh, some ordinary people who live in a private house in downtown New York. How might as well look up Martians in the classified section of the phone book?
There's one other lead which might help you.
What's that?
They would be almost certain to subscribe to every conceivable type of newspaper, scientific journal, and foreign language publication.
Now, that might be something. Okay, Mr. Grafius, it's a deal.
Excellent. I shall contact you tomorrow.
Boss, here's an address. Takes everything from Pick Magazine to the Manchester Guardian. Here, listen to this here. Pick, Look, Scientific America, the Daily News, Daily Worker, the Police Gazette, Journal of Engineering, a Scientific Quarterly, American Psychiatric Journal.
Let me see that.
Yeah.
Oh, Doolin. Sometimes I wonder, what is the address on this?
Well, it's 9 West 124th Street.
Which happens to be the Harlem branch of the New York Public Library. Now, listen, Noodlebrain, what we're looking for is a private house.
Oh, boss, what is the sense of all this? You know there ain't no Martian embassy in New York.
This crackpot is paying us $100 a day, and we got to keep him happy. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Also, I have a hunch that Mr. Grafius is not looking for any Martian embassies. He is looking for something quite different. So we are going to find it for him. Which house is it, Doolin?
It's right down there, number 108. Nobody comes out, nobody goes in. I asked around.
You haven't been blabbing around the neighborhood that we're looking for the Martian embassy, have you?
Boss, I'm stupid, but I ain't that stupid.
Who'd you talk to?
I struck up what you might call a casual acquaintanceship with those two girls standing with the baby carriages up the street. That cute one is real cute.
Look, Doolin, don't try to do anything intelligent, all right? Just keep walking up and down, see?
Check.
I'm going back to the office to meet Grafius.
I'll see you later, boss. Hiya, beautiful.
Hiya, Flatfoot.
Name is Doolin, honey. Iron Man Doolin.
Your line is getting rusty, Iron Man.
So help me, honey. If I'm feeding you a line, may the heavens open up and strike me dead. Hey, what's that?
Look out!
I'm sorry to have kept you waiting, Mr. Grafius.
Thank you.
But I've had Doolin casing our first lead for a week now. It's a house down in Greenwich Village, privately rented, number 108 Conklin Street. Nobody seems to know anything about who lives there, except that they subscribe to every paper and scientific journal put out. Also, there's a radio antenna on the roof.
Oh, you don't suppose your Mr. Doolin will try to get inside the house? If this place is the Martian embassy...
No, don't worry. Doolin can take care of himself. That's probably him now. Excuse me. Hello. Yeah, speaking.
Doolin?
Yeah, he works for me.
What?
No. No, I can't think of any. Yeah, sure. Okay, I'll be right down. Okay, Lieutenant, yeah. Yeah, right away.
Something the matter?
Doolin is dead, Mr. Grafius. All right, come on, we get a cab. I have to identify the body. Oh, Lieutenant... I'm Broderick.
Oh, there's your boy, Broderick.
Anybody see it?
A maid pushing a baby carriage. We can't seem to get any sense out of her.
You mind if I talk to her?
Hanson, this guy wants to ask the girl a few questions.
Please. I told you what I saw. How many times I gotta tell you?
Look, miss. The dead man was a personal friend of mine. Would you tell me what happened?
Helen and I were standing in front of Rathman's candy store up on the corner. We both had the babies out. He said hello and joked a little. Then he...
What happened?
It's too awful.
No, please.
Well, First, he squashed. And then the stone fell on him.
Did you repeat that?
They don't believe me. But Helen saw it, too.
Saw what?
First he squashed, and then it fell on him. He was mashed flat before it even hit him.
Now, look.
That's the story, Broderick.
Please, let me alone. Let me go home. I told you what I saw. Now, let me alone. Let me alone.
Did you learn anything, Mr. Broderick?
I don't know.
May I ask, what do you intend doing?
Well, as soon as the cops clear out and this place quiets down, little Broderick is going to pay a personal call on the Martian embassy. Or whatever number 108 is. Excuse me, ma'am. Is the lady of the house at home?
Oh, I'm the lady of the house.
Oh, well, my name is Broderick. I represent the Manhattan Child Adoption Center. We're soliciting funds and clothing for stranded and unadopted children.
Won't you come inside?
Well, we don't. Usually
oh,
we...
Oh, nonsense. I'm old enough to be your grandmother. Besides, my son, Lauren, is working at home.
Your son?
Oh, he's a bibliographer. He writes summaries of articles and books from scientific journals and publications for libraries and universities.
Oh, I see.
Sit down, Mr. Broderick. Let me pour you a cup of tea.
Oh, thank you. You know, I'm not much of a tea drinker, but seems to have a strange taste.
Oh, it's my own recipe.
Uh-huh. Well, I think that I'd better be running along now.
You haven't finished your tea, Mr. Broderick.
No, really. I feel a little funny.
I'll call Lauren.
No. Sorry, I'm leaving. I just feel kind of dizzy.
Well, I'm sure Lauren would like to hear about the adoption center. I'll call him.
No, don't
bother. But I must. Besides, you aren't well.
Tea.
Lauren!
I've got to get out.
Lauren! Lauren, hurry!
Look out. Get out of my way.
No. You must stay.
Yes, Mother.
You drug my tea. You let go of my arm.
Lauren!
Let go!
No! Oh!
I've got to get out the front door. Open!
What happened?
The other one, that Broderick, he was here. I drugged his tea.
He got away?
He was suspicious.
Fool! Idiot!
Go after him.
Risk another murder on our doorstep. Are you insane?
But he suspects.
We'll have to take our chances. We'll have to think of some other way.
If he goes to the authorities...
Oh, they'll laugh at him.
How did they find out?
I don't know how. But I'm certain someone else sent them.
Who?
I don't know. I'm afraid to let myself think. It might be... It just might be them.
I've got to get help. Oh,
look out!
Miss, please.
All right, miss, we'll take care of them. Come along, mister. I'm going to give you a break and take you back to the wife and kids.
No, you can't. I'm sick.
Sick, is it? What's the matter?
I'm drugged. They drugged me.
Who drugged you?
The number 108, the Martian.
Who?
The Martians and 108 at Martian Embassy.
Well, I've seen them with pink elephants, rabbits, and mice, but you're the first one that's got Martians.
Oh, it's true, I tell you.
Ah, come along.
Listen, don't take me back there. They'll kill me. I've got to make you understand.
Here, I'll help you up the steps.
What was my name? My name is Broderick, a private dick.
We'll find out about this.
No.
Oh. Here, don't try any tricks.
Officer, listen, please. I'll give you $1,000, but please, listen. For God's sake, listen.
Yes, officer? Oh. Why, Broderick.
You know this lush, Granny?
Why, that's my son, Broderick.
Oh, no, she's Martian.
He's in pretty bad shape. You better get him to bed.
Oh, dear, and he was doing so well at the Alcoholic Society. He must have gotten off again.
Looks like he's ready to pass out.
Lauren, Lauren.
What is it, Mother? Oh, Brock.
Your brother Broderick has been drinking again.
No, officer, please.
Look out, he's passed out.
Oh, I'll take care of him, officer. We've handled this sort of thing before.
Can you manage okay?
We'll be fine. Thank you.
Oh, you've been very kind, officer.
Nothing at all, Granny. I know how it is with these alkies. Well, I'll be seeing you.
Martian Embassy. Martian. Oh, my head.
Our Mr. Broderick is regaining consciousness, Mother.
What? What happened? I can't get up. Oh.
Do not struggle, Mr. Broderick. It will be impossible for you to rise from that chair. The pressure from this ray will keep you there.
Ray?
You've already guessed, Mr. Broderick.
You mean this really is the...
The Martian Embassy? Yes. Yes, you have the honor to be the first prisoner of the Imperial Government of Mars.
First prisoner?
Yes. After the invasion, of course, you will all be our prisoners.
What sort of nonsense is this?
No nonsense, Mr. Broderick. As your people will soon find out. Our preparations for invasion are nearly completed now. As soon as we give the signal, our armed forces will launch a surprise attack. And then the Earth will be ours.
Crazy.
Oh, not half as mad as you, Mr. Broderick, to come muddling so foolishly into our affairs. It was a mistake, Mr. Broderick. A fatal mistake.
So Doolan's death was no accident, then, huh?
Assuredly not. We found it necessary to use a pressure ray on your friend. The block of concrete was an afterthought. We thought it might help to divert suspicion.
All right. So what happens now?
If you cooperate, you can look forward to a quick, painless death. Like your friend, Mr. Doolan.
If not?
Well, this pressure ray has many delicate adjustments. It can move a pin, or it can crush a boulder. Let me demonstrate.
No!
You see, Mr. Broderick, as if an invisible vice were crushing you.
What do you want?
The name of your client. We are interested in knowing who is so anxious to locate the Martian Embassy.
The names of my clients are confidential.
Well?
All right, all right!
Turn it off, Mother. Mr. Broderick has seen the wisdom of speech.
Oh. His name is Grafius.
Grafius?
Yes.
An unusual name for an Earthman.
Describe him.
Well, I don't think I really can.
Describe him.
Oh. He's tall. The big forehead. It's about 60. Wears thick glasses. He's bald.
Lauren, it sounds like one of them.
Yes. Yes, it does. Contact the planet. Tell them we suspect that our plans are known. Ask for an acceleration of the invasion day.
At once.
What about me?
Oh, I am sorry, Mr. Broderick. But I'm afraid you know too much now. In exactly 5 seconds, you will feel the full impact of the ray which faces you. I would suggest that you relax and meet your fate calmly.
Oh, no, wait a minute.
You will feel no pain, just a wall of force crushing you.
Yes, but listen.
5.
But you can't do this.
4.
It isn't human.
Yes, I know we're not human. 3.
Yes, but do you understand?
2.
No.
1.
Mother in heaven.
Now.
Come.
Lauren!
It didn't work.
Something has happened. The magnetic field is dead.
Stand back from the pressure, April. It will not function anyway. I have decontrolled your field.
Lauren! Lauren, it's one of them! They found us!
Did you think we wouldn't? And you are free to move now, Mr. Brown.
Look, I don't know how you got in here, Grafius, but stick around. These babies are really Martians, just like you said. They're planning to invade the Earth and take over.
There will be no invasion.
All right, you keep these characters covered. I'll get the police.
There will be no need for the police. I intend to handle them myself.
But, Grafius, the police will want
to... Do not call the police.
I don't get it.
You fool of an Earthling. Don't you realize with whom you are dealing? The invasion of Earth by Mars will be like child's play compared with what...
Lauren!
Holy mackerel. They just flattened out.
Yeah? Like your friend, Mr. Doolin. Oh, I detest the use of violence where the intellect can rule. But unfortunately, the Martians are a threat to us and must be destroyed so that we can proceed with our own plans.
What plans?
Naturally, you wouldn't comprehend.
Wait a minute. There are some things here that I do understand. A second ago, that pressure ray didn't work. Now you're using it like it was a toy. How did you get in here, anyway? Who are you? Another one of these Martians?
No, Mr. Broderick. I happen to be a Venusian.
A what?
A representative of the planet of Venus.
You're crazy.
Not at all. Martian invasion would be like child's play compared to ours. The Martians would simply have conquered and enslaved your people. We Venusians intend to exterminate you completely.
And I suppose that you were going to start by knocking me off now,
On the contrary, you are free to leave any time you please.
Leave?
Yes.
Are you kidding? I know your plans, the invasion. I could go...
Tell the police? Go ahead. What? Why don't you try it, brother?
Because the minute I turn my back, you're going to let me have it.
Suppose you try it and see. I have no interest in stopping you. Go ahead. Run to the police. Tell them anything you like.
All right, Buster, you ask for this. I'm alive. You let me go.
Yeah, here. Where do you think you're running to?
Officer, listen to me.
Oh, it's you again. The one with the marsh.
Listen, that story is true. You've got to believe me. You've absolutely got to believe me. They're inside that house. Inside number 108. He killed them.
Who killed them?
Grafius, the leader of the Venusian invasion.
Venusian invasion.
Look, they're going to take over the Earth. Listen to me. Go in that house.
Martians, now Venusians. Okay, brother, I've heard enough. Your baddie is a bedbug. Come along.
Please, where are you taking me?
Bellevue Psychiatric Ward, my friend. Come on.
No, but you...
Come along.
You don't understand. Why are you such a fool? Let go of me. There's going to be an invasion. The Venusians are going to invade us. Why don't you listen to me? Why don't you listen?
You have just heard X-1, presented by the National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Street and Smith, publishers of astounding science fiction. Tonight, by transcription, X-1 has brought you The Embassy by Donald A. Wolheim, adapted for radio by George Lefferts. Featured in the cast were John Larkin, Teo Getz, Bill Zuckert, Audrey Blum, Virginia Payne, Clark Gordon, Jack Orison, and Reese Taylor. Your announcer, Fred Collins. X-1 was directed by Dan Sutter and is an NBC Radio Network production.
That was X-1, July 28th, 1955, The Embassy. This is about going to wrap it up for my presentation here on Michael's Saturday Surprise for this Saturday. Before I turn things over to Luis so that he can put the finishing touches on tonight's presentation, I would like to encourage you all to come back throughout the whole month to see what kind of interesting or scary surprises our presenters have in store for you. Luis, my friend, come and tell these people how to post complaints, comments, grievances, questions, requests, anything else that may be on their minds.
Okay, Mike. Thanks a lot and great work. I'll take it from here. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, it is that time again. Everybody doesn't like it, but, you know, it must come. But don't worry. If you want more of this good stuff, all you have to do is come back again next week and join us for another exciting installment of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. As usual, if you have any questions, comments, complaints, or maybe even a request or two, please address them to MikeAmeli@earthlink.net. That's MikeAmeli@earthlink.net. We will soon be releasing the key and returning the room to you, the listening audience. Please do with it as you wish, for as long as you wish. You just want to hang out and, you know, shoot the breeze? Go right ahead. Just remember, be nice to one another. Otherwise, I might be coming after you. On behalf of myself and the rest of the MSS crew, have a great night, a great weekend, and goodbye.